Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Say hello, and I don't mean to pry, but girl, I gotta know, what is your name? How come I ain't seen you around before? So, you know, I ain't never had a type, having a type takes two, but I know what I like, and you're the only one of you, you're something else. And I know we just met,
Jake and Ben. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you to join JJ and Alex coming up today from 3 to 6 at the Dish Bros, 8034 South State Street in Midvale. Drop by and, yes, you could meet the world-famous Ryan from the Dish Professionals. He will say hello to you. He signs autographs. I've seen it.
Warning you. He's tall.
He is very tall.
Yep.
Ryan's the best. Go check those guys out this afternoon. It's funny, Ben. I just now got a text from a friend, a fellow dad friend, who's from Buffalo, played college hockey, huge hockey person, still plays hockey on men's teams, travels, that whole thing. You should see the elated text I just got with a link to our KSLSports.com article about the Coyotes and this dual schedule, one in Phoenix, one in Salt Lake, which is unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are weird contingencies that they make that we don't hear about because they're so unrealistic and never get to hear about, but this to get out is a tough sign. I mean, imagine if the roles were reversed and we were hoping to not lose a team out of Salt Lake City and you're like, they built a schedule for Arizona. You'd be like, well, that's
it's
it.
It's gone. Yeah.
It's done.
It's over.
And I suspect that's where we are. I mean, I think it's probably that close. I think it's a matter of when and not if anymore. Can they get it done as soon as next season? Can they be playing here next year? Be awesome.
Mere details.
Yep.
They play at Delta Center, right? You don't think they'd play at Maverick?
No, they play at Delta Center. Yeah, they'd figure out a way to get that done.
Because what's the capacity of Maverick Center?
It's better than you would think.
It's like 12 or 13,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not.
Maybe even that might be big. Because there is a portion. I mean, we think of Delta Center now. Their capacity is right around 18,000, right? I mean, I bet you
12,000. Yeah,
I bet you that number of suitable hockey watching seats is 16,000, maybe 15,000. So the gap might be a little closer than you'd think, I guess is my point. But yeah, I'm sure they play at Delta Center if for no other reason than Ryan owns the building.
Yeah, it's Ryan's building. I have heard that that's the plan. If it goes through. That the Delta Center is the plan.
During the Olympics, they built a temporary hockey arena in Seven Peaks.
Yeah.
Down in Provo. Let's do that.
Let's bring another one out.
Let's do that thing. I watched a hockey game down there. I watched Russia play somebody. Who'd they play? But anyway, I was shocked at how cool it was, believe it or not. Like a temporary hockey facility, just built in basically a parking lot. It was pretty rad.
So the news, if you're just tuning in, the NHL, as we mentioned, is putting together two schedules for their league next year. One for the Arizona hockey team continuing to play in Arizona, and one that they might be playing in Salt Lake City. That's the unprecedented part of it. And it sounds like there's a chance that within the week, we'll say 8 days, April 18th, when the hockey season ends, that maybe we could hear of a sale that quickly. I would be surprised on that, but there is this big land auction coming in June where the Coyotes would like to win that. At least that was the latest rumor as of yesterday. They would like to win that that auction in Scottsdale and move the team there, but the mayor has no interest.
Well, and why am I forgetting our guest yesterday?
Dan.
Dan Bickley.
Yeah.
As he mentioned yesterday, it's this land we're talking about is coming from the Arizona State Trust, so they're releasing it. It's like prime real estate. It's not swamp land.
And
you know what I mean?
It's the last habitable land that you're going to be able to get.
There's going to be other
bidders
that are real. And going to be going for it. So it's not going to be
easy thing to accomplish.
Yeah. Like it would be a Hail Mary. So Apparently, it's right on the border of Scottsdale and Phoenix, too. Scottsdale mayor is like, nope.
Not going to happen.
Absolutely not.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Again, this has been this golden goose that we have been chasing for a long time in the state of Utah, trying to get this other major professional sports team, one of the major four, to come to Salt Lake. And it sounds like Ryan Smith is on the precipice of doing it. I mean, it's a huge delivery. And I will say, you've got to credit Ryan. All the things he has said he's going to do, he has done so far.
He's doing them.
He has done them. He has put his money where his mouth is, quite literally. I mean, he's going to have to pay a big chunk of this. I know there's been a lot of conversation about the taxpayer money going into it and where other funds are coming into. He bought the Jazz. He's putting money together to get this relocation. I mean, this isn't taxpayer fees to bring this team to Salt Lake City. It's going to be Ryan's team, however much he has to pay to get the controlling interest, or maybe he buys it outright. I don't know how that works. He does have wealthy friends that might be interested in being part owners of this, but
it'll be a group, I'm sure.
He is doing, I mean, they got that whole group together, was it 2 years ago now, that was designed specifically to bring another professional sports team.
It's just how things are done now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're standalone family buying it just isn't the way these transactions happen anymore.
So he's delivered. And, you know, I would say delivering that is probably a little bit more in control than delivering a championship. But those are the other things he's talked about. And so far, the things he has mentioned wanting to be a part of and wanting to do in Salt Lake and Utah overall have come to fruition.
He's doing for Salt Lake what Howard Hughes did for Vegas.
Sure. That's what I was going to say. I didn't want to say it out loud. If we see Ryan walking around with tissue boxes on his feet.
Oh, no, we'll
I'm
never
pull him aside and say, Ryan, this has gone too far.
But see, that's the key. You're saying see him. We won't see
him
again.
At that point, yeah. He's just living in the basement of the Delta Center.
Right. But doing nice things for the community.
Yeah. Just have some henchmen
out there doing his bidding.
Out
yeah,
there doing that, everything for him.
Yeah, right. But that's
see
okay.
Ryan once before a Jazz game.
As long as we like
fingernails
eccentric.
Fingernails are 8 inches long.
We like eccentric when it's doing good.
Poor wife. Ryan's changed.
I'm his wife. I haven't seen him in years.
I'd be surprised.
I talked to him through a mail slot in the door.
I'd be surprised.
I got to call Peach and get a better door slot.
I'd be surprised if we lost Ryan that way. But
you don't
hey,
think that's his future?
You know what I would be interested in all honesty? Can I just bring a conspiracy theory that's probably inappropriate to bring up at this point, even though we're talking about Ryan Smith turning into Howard Hughes? If I was ever going to strip the Jazz down to the nuts and bolts, to the studs. Wouldn't you do it the first year you had a hockey team here and you had a big, shiny new object
to
take everyone's
attention?
Sell
hockey tickets?
If I were to say, you know what, we should have tanked for Victor Wembanyama, we didn't do it, and I'm saying if. I'm not telling them what they should have done. But if that's how you feel and you've got these next 2 years where you've got a kid like Cooper Flagg coming in who's supposed to be everything, or Ace Bailey who's supposed to be everything, and then the year after that you've got the Boozer twins. Like, if you really wanted to strip this thing down, completely hit the reset button, which probably means moving on from Lowry Markkanen, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, John Collins, or whatever. If you wanted to do it, having the umbrella or shield of a hockey team to protect you is not a bad time to do it.
Yeah. I bet you Ryan, though, is hoping one doesn't take a bite out of the other.
Well, that would be another concern. Like, does one take priority over the other?
Yeah, you're hoping no.
He's a basketball guy. I mean, he plays basketball. He's a Jazz fan growing up. He's talked about that a lot. I would be surprised if the Jazz lost in that area, but that also, it's the new thing that you got to take care of, and sometimes the baby gets more attention than the three-year-old.
But you know what I mean? I think, like, he's not hoping he has to sacrifice sponsorship dollars. When I think of one taking a bite out of the other, that's mainly what I'm thinking about. I don't know if there are a lot of fans that would say, well, now I'm ditching the Jazz and going to hockey or vice versa.
No, I don't think so either.
I'd be worried about sponsorship dollars a little bit, where there's only so much of that out there, and now you've got to split the pie a little bit differently. But,
you know, I remember a bunch of people when masks were required at the Delta Center saying, like, we'll never advertise here again. I've not seen a lack of ad space in that building since the second I've walked in a day after.
I know.
There are people lined up that can't get in the door, and if the door opens for them, they'll find a way to do it.
But it's not like they're passing on any sponsorship dollars. You know what I mean?
I actually don't know if that's true. They very well could be.
I'm not mean controversially. I mean,
no,
like,
I mean they absolutely
like
could
overall,
be.
Like overall, like they're not saying no. If somebody wants to sponsor the Jazz, regardless of, I'm not talking about controversial stuff. They're not saying, man, we're full. You know what I mean?
Like, you know what? I'm honestly not sure that's true. I'm not kidding. There are, like, because what do you sponsor now, right? Like, you sponsor game nights. You sponsor social media posts. You sponsor all these things of being like, hey, we want this. And they're like, guys, we've got 82 games. Like, there's not, and only 41 are in Salt Lake. Like, there's not, we can't make a 40-second game for you to sponsor. You've got your game night, Scott's Lawn and Garden or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have games in May. You can't sponsor it. There's nothing there. Or we can't, we've got a first quarter graphic for the final score. It's already sponsored. It's sold. Like, we're not going to do the 9-minute logo that we tweet out every game. Like, they honestly might be close to capacity. And you're right, they'll always find room to bring other things in. But some of those types of sponsorships that are, like, easily available, this package, I would imagine they've had to say no to some people. In all honesty, that would be my bet. So hockey would fill in there. And, man, there would be no lack of interest in advertising with a hockey team with the amount of eyes and interest that are going to be going to all those games.
Well, we'll see. I mean, this gets back to our growing economy and all that sort of stuff because, you know, for years, Ben, I've been talking about all this stuff for years, and what stood in the way is corporate sponsorship money. Why don't we have a PGA Tour stop here? Well, we don't have the corporate sponsorship money. So, I mean, that problem didn't just go away. But you'd hope you'd create more. You wouldn't have to take a bite out of the Jazz to have a hockey team.
No, I don't think so.
And they're hoping you don't have to take a bite out of either to have a Major League Baseball team. But maybe you do. Larry Miller feared that. I don't want to report news, but I know that Larry was somewhat apprehensive when the soccer team got here.
Mm-hmm. Which, in retrospect, is somewhat foolish.
I don't know how much one is overlapped over the other. I'm not sure, but I know that was a thing. So I don't think he invented it like a fantasy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's something that you have to worry about because you've got it. That's, you know, that's the dough that keeps the lights on. You know, the tickets pay the players. It's the other stuff that really makes it go round.
And I would imagine you could sell, you know, dual sponsorships. Hockey, NBA. I mean, you're buying the Delta Center, right? You're buying the ad space in the Delta Center for now instead of 41 nights a year, 81 nights or 82 nights a year.
So are they going to knock the building down and build it again?
Yeah, I have no idea how that aspect works. It's like, well, you're not going to do that in off season.
Nope, not like the remodel. They barely got the remodel in, and that was a fraction of the project that knocking it down and rebuilding it would be. It takes several years.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they saying the baseball stadium in Vegas is going to take? Like 3 years?
Yeah. So, no, it's going to have to be built on top of what's existing, right? Like, that has to be part of it.
Jeez, I don't know.
Can you bulldoze the whole building? Maybe you can.
I think you'd have to. That's what I'm saying. Like, because the way that the stands are built, Ben, you'd have to rebuild the whole thing because you have to make it more gradual and not as steep. That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
So a refit doesn't fix that. I think you have to start from scratch.
I mean, they got the money. Right? The money wasn't to just slap some new paint on the outside of the building.
No, because the remodel, I think it was $200 million and change, yeah. I want to say, somewhere in that neighborhood.
We're
Does that sound right? We're talking about
10 times that?
At least.
At least, right? There's the $1 billion in taxpayer money and whatever money Ryan puts up and then the other $1 billion donor. So.
Yeah, right. That's knock it down and start again.
Yeah, I would think
that's
so.
That's not refit the building.
Yeah.
But again, I don't see how you could possibly refit the building. I think you have to. But then where do you go from there? Then you have to go to the Maverick Center.
Maverick Center and Huntsman Center? You know, yeah. Is that
I don't
the
think
Jazz
you can
play?
Put ice on the Huntsman Center.
No, Maverick Center for hockey, yeah. Huntsman Center for the Jazz.
Yep.
Something like that? What's Weaver doing?
Maybe the Marriott Center for the Jazz. It's bigger.
Yeah, it is bigger.
Not in the same town, though.
No, Jazz fans would be
grumpy.
Frustrated.
Well, Salt Lake Jazz fans would be grumpy.
Provo fans would be thrilled. Media members would be frustrated.
Well, that's the only opinion that matters. I mean, I'm not going to pick on any individual media member.
David James,
come on.
Pick on DJ.
You can't put that kind of miles on that Prius.
He's got the best car for it.
He does have the best car for it. That's true.
I'm going to have to get rid of the Hummer.
All right. You have a Hummer?
That's what I'm driving now.
Coming up next.
Can't park anywhere.
We've got What You Got Wednesday.
One of the old ones.
Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Time for What You Got Wednesday. Everybody's favorite or least favorite segment of the week. If you're new to the show, we do 2 5 selection drafts, one sports related, one not, and then we put it out for a vote. We've got a new feature on our KSL Sports app, the call in feature, where you can record up to 60 seconds of audio and send it right to Sarah in the booth. So if you want to tell us what idiots we are and what we've forgotten, there's an avenue available for you.
We'll take it.
All right. What is our sports-related draft today, Sarah?
All right. In honor of Jokic playing last night against the Jazz, we are doing best current foreign NBA players.
Best current foreign NBA players. Ben, you trounced me in both last week. All-time NBA rookie seasons, you beat me, and animals in movies.
You got Michael Jordan, so I'm surprised I beat you.
Yeah, what am I going to do? The listeners are super wrong.
Call in.
I don't know. So I get the first pick in both drafts today. That's
okay.
Nice. Okay, so best foreign NBA players. I'm going to go with the inspiration for the draft, Nikola Jokic.
This is a good pick to have first and third. I will go with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I think that's number two.
I think so.
Number three, I'll take Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
That's the debate.
Whoever you take. If you want to take Luka two, you're getting Giannis three. If I take Giannis two, you're getting Luka three.
Yeah, that's true. 1 and 3 was strong.
1 and 3. But I think there's actually a very obvious fourth here. And actually, I think this guy would have gone higher had he been healthy. It's Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel this year, had it not been for injury, we would be talking about arguably the greatest offensive season of all time. He's scoring more than a point per minute on the floor. He and Will Chamberlain. And, you know, I'm not trying to demean what Will Chamberlain did, but nobody does that nowadays.
See, now it gets a little bit more tricky now, doesn't it?
It's a little harder.
I'm going to go with Domantas Sabonis.
Okay. Domus, as they call him.
All stars.
Yep. You're going to get mad at me for this one, but I think you overlooked him, and I think it's fair. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Canadian.
Oh, that is lame.
Canada
doesn't.
He doesn't play for Team USA.
That's so dumb.
That's an international player. Like Steve Nash was an international player.
No, he wasn't. He went to Santa Clara.
So? You can play in college and be an international player.
Whatever. That's dumb.
it's where the best players are coming. Take Kelly Olynyk.
I mean, we didn't specify, so I feel like we can't
throw a
flag.
What's there to specify? You need a passport to go there. There's nothing to specify. You needed. It's not like I drafted Tim Duncan from the Virgin Islands.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, Gobert's a good pick. You know what? I'm going to take Lauri Markkanen. He's not been what he was last year this year, but Lowry's superb. Fabulous player.
I guess we're heavy on the French, but I'll go with Big Vic.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, Victor, next year, Victor might end up being like our fourth overall pick. He's that good. He's not going to stop being incredible. So just enjoy it while you can. Enjoy rooting for other teams while you can, because he's quickly coming and taking over. You know, for as much talk as there is about the NBA being all foreign-born players, it's not everybody. What's this pick for me?
Last one.
This is my last one?
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys ran through this pretty quick.
Well, let me take some time then on my fifth pick. Is there an obvious player I'm missing? I've got like Bogdan Bogdanovic in my head because he's having a great year, but that's not the right answer. Boyan's not that good anymore. Oh, I feel like I'm going to be angry with myself for not having a more obvious selection here. All right. Give me Bojan. Local favorite, Bojan Bogdanovic. I'm missing a lot of players.
I would have taken Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, yeah, Porzingis, absolutely. Better than Bojan. Way better.
He's having a great year in Boston.
No, we went through this so quickly, I didn't have time to catch up on my research as much as I would like to have. No, he's been absolutely awesome. He was bad in Dallas, ignored in Washington, but has been absolutely incredible. Yeah, that was a flub on my part. Kristaps is the right choice, no question.
Could have taken Yusuf Nurkic?
No.
No?
Bojan's probably better than Nurk.
No, not going to do that. How will Neto?
Not playing anymore. Out of the league.
Ricard Rubio?
Out of the league. Retired. Oh, I could have taken like Franz Wagner.
That would have been
a good one. Players who are better than Bojan. Bojan will get me votes, and I'll say that was the reason I did it.
All right, what is our not sports?
Did you want to do a quick recap?
Oh, yeah, do.
Let's
yeah,
see
recap.
If I can not butcher their names. Jake, you have 1, Nikola Jokic, 2, Luka Doncic, 3, Domantas Sabonis.
Yep.
4, Rudy Gobert, and then 5, Big Vic. Ben, you have 1, Giannis, 2, Joel Embiid, 3, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 4, Lauri Markkanen, and 5, Bojan Bogdanovic.
Okay. Those are good.
I'm surprised. You guys were quick with your answers.
I didn't go heavy on Canadians. I could have. Jamal Murray. Absolutely in that mix. We saw him last night as well. You know what? I don't feel bad about Bojan, actually.
Well, you should, because he hardly plays.
He doesn't play anymore, but he was actually really good in Detroit over the last couple of years. He has, yes, not been utilized very well by our friend.
Well,
Tom
why would you want a good player to play? What is our not sports-related topic?
All right. In honor of today being National Siblings Day, we're doing top 5 best fictional siblings. So movies, TVs, books, you name it.
All right. Do you feel like there's an obvious number one here?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I do not. Now I'm hesitant on who I'm going to pick here, but I'll go with it. Luke and Leia.
Yeah, that's the obvious pick. Yeah, that's it. One-time lovers turned brother and sister.
Were they lovers?
Well, they kiss.
All right. But
before they find out that they're there.
I don't want to get into a biology lesson with you, but there's a big difference.
Well, that was kind of the thought, was that they were going to be a couple.
Okay. Way to make it creepy. But yeah, Luke and Leia.
That's the right pick. That was the number one pick. And now I think this thing totally opens up. And then I'm actually going really heavy personal preference here. But I will go with the next most iconic duo when it comes to famous siblings. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito in the movie Twins. Iconic. That was actually the first thing that thought popped into my head when we're talking about iconic siblings.
All right.
Twins with Danny DeVito.
Yeah, that.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That seems fine. Oh, I don't know where to. I truly. You know what? I'm gonna go this way. Chip and Dale.
Oh, okay. You've been 6 of your last 7.
All cartoons.
Have been cartoons. Of your latest draft selections have been cartoons. That's just funny. I like that about you. I'm gonna go the Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus. I think I might get some local votes and some nostalgia votes. A lot of people like the Hocus Pocus. I think those are a good set of witches. Those 3. Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker.
I'm going to take this one because it's my personal favorite, and there's a small chance maybe that you would take this. I don't think you and I are going to overlap much on this.
No, I only drew out 7 names.
But I'm going to go with the Tannenbaums.
Oh, Royal Tannenbaums. I had it. Actually, I was thought about it. Great family.
Great. Well, they and the siblings are
hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
The Tannenbaums.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, I will go another place where I think we might have overlap, and then we won't have to do it anymore. Give me the Bluth siblings. yeah. from the booth.
Yeah, from Arrested Development. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great pick.
Michael, Lindsay, Buster, Job.
Job is the best.
They're all great. Michael's an idiot. Lindsay's an idiot. Buster's hilarious. Buster at the construction site is the funniest thing of all time. Give me the Bluths.
The Bluths.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with the, and this probably won't get me any votes, but I feel like at least everybody's aware of it, the Hardy Boys.
Okay. Yeah. What is this, 3 for me, Sarah? 4? I've done 4 already? Oh, man, I got to make these two count then. Give me... This is a tough relationship. It's not actually a great relationship, but it's a tough relationship. You've seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah.
Johnny Depp and Leo DiCaprio. All Johnny right. Depp's more of a caretaker, uh-huh. but always doesn't do a great job as a caretaker. So Arnie and Gilbert from What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
I'm going back to the... Yeah, that movie's a downer.
It is. It's a sad movie.
Yeah. Overrated. I'm going to go back to the cartoon world. Linus and Lucy.
Okay.
There's Charlie Brown.
I love peanuts. I have several pieces of peanuts clothing.
And that's the name of...
The song.
The song. Yeah. It's called Linus and Lucy.
I think you're going to win this one. I'm picking between two here. One's more famous, one's my favorite, and Hans is going to be happy that I pick this one. Toby and Tanner from Hell or High Water, Chris Pine and Ben Foster. They go on the bank robbery tour, if you haven't seen it, to try and take care of their family. It's awesome.
It's a great movie.
Awesome. One of the... I think enough people have seen it, but if you haven't, one of the most underrated movies of the last 20 years. It's just unbelievably good. No notes. 10 out of 10.
I mean, it won Best Picture, right?
It didn't win Best Picture, no. I don't even think it got nominated.
Really?
Yeah, no. Tiny. Tiny movie.
It wasn't a tiny movie.
Hell or High Water was not a big movie.
What's his name? Jeff
Bridges in it.
He's
yeah.
a huge star.
Yeah, he's a star. But, I mean, so is Chris Pine. But it was a pretty small movie. Like, I bet that budget was like $20 million. So.
All right, should we review?
Yeah, anyone need to? Oh, yeah, let's review, then we can talk about what we didn't pick.
All right, Jake, you have 1 Luke and Leia, 2 Chip and Dale, 3 the Tenenbaums.
Tenenbaums, yeah.
4 the Hardy Boys, 5 Linus and Lucy. Ben, you have 1 Julius and Vincent, right? Is their names? And twins?
Yes.
Okay.
Danny DeVito and
Arnold.
You can
yes.
just put, in some of these situations, put Danny and Arnold. Twins.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then 2, you have the Sanderson sisters.
Yep.
3, you have the Bluths
yep.
siblings. 4, you have Arnie and Gilbert. And then 5, you have Toby and Tanner.
Yep. Hell or High Water.
Nominated for 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Supporting
Best
Actor,
Picture.
Best Original Screenplay, and Best Film Editing.
Didn't win anything, did it?
No.
I would have
That's
probably
amazing.
Had the Weasleys
okay.
from Harry
sure.
Potter on there.
Sure, those little dorks. I mean, Beth, Amy, Joe, and Meg. The March family, little Women, the family, the sisters. I went with Hocus Pocus instead.
I also biased, but White Chicks, the movie. I would have had them
brothers.
On there.
The Wayans brothers are always funny. I mean, you could pick any numerous movies that they've been in together.
I had a tough time thinking of siblings for some reason.
No, this is kind of difficult.
I think I've read 1 Hardy Boys book in my entire life, but
Never
for some
it.
Reason that came coming into my mind. All right. There you go. What You Got Wednesday. We'll get that up online. You can vote on who wins. And if you want to yell at us for making the wrong picks, go to our call-in feature on the KSL Sports app.
Surprisingly not a common through line in movies. A lot of like dad, son, mother, daughter is more common, but like the sibling is actually a little bit difficult.
A lot of buddy.
Yeah, buddy, big time. But then you can be like people from opposite worlds coming together. There's conflict there. Hard to generate conflict with siblings unless it's like mom and dad are bad. We don't see that as much.
All right. Stay tuned. Brian Taylor joins us from Augusta. Coming up next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, our 50th segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Joining us now, he, of course, is a co-host for Real Golf Radio every single Saturday morning right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. He is Brian Taylor. What's up, BT?
Hey, how's it going, Jake? Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, buddy. Let's start things off with the most important part. What was on the menu for the Champions Dinner? What did Rom go with?
It was a Spanish flair with a something to do with like finely cured and thinly sliced meats and you know all kinds of stuff. I don't quite know, but everybody seemed to rave about it. So. There you go. Yeah. I mean, it was a good dinner, right? I mean, what else can you say? It's like the toughest ticket in town.
I'm amazed at how quickly stories come and go in sports. Just look at Shohei Ohtani and gambling. But what's the latest with the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour and everyone's happy family again? What's the feeling there at the Masters?
Yeah, so it's definitely muted from what it was a year ago, right? Last year, it was a big coming together. It was the first time a lot of these guys have gotten together since the split, and there was a lot of tension. There was a lot of, sort of wonder around how they were going to interact. You know, every time somebody walked by somebody from that had defected and vice versa, there were cameras. There was, people wondering what kind of an exchange there might be. And it's really not that way this year. It just seems like both sides are not wanting to fight for it. You know what I mean? Like one way or the other. It's not even so much that the one side that lives still trying to legitimize itself. I think everybody's just happy that they're here and they just don't really want to fight about it. They don't know where it's going to all resolve itself or where it's going to blend together or come together or anything like that. So right now it's a lot up in the air and there's, you know, big guys with big money that are talking right now, trying to figure out what they're going to do and how they're all going to play nice together in the same sandbox.
So Scheffler is the heavy favorite, and I guess there's a chance he might bounce if his baby comes.
Yeah, that's always an interesting sidebar. You remember Phil Mickelson? That was a big story with Phil at Pinehurst back in 1999 when Payne Stewart won, and he carried around the beeper. How times have changed, right? He had a beeper on his belt, and if Amy had gone into labor, he was going to withdraw, and he was right there in contention. You know, almost, you know, went down to the final hole. So. That's the thing. He said he's going to take off if it happens, but I think he's still got like 2 or 3 weeks before the baby's due. So it's less of a chance. I'm trying to think who else he was hanging out with or playing with. And they're also having a baby, but they're like a week away. So that one was a little more likely, but not as heavy favorite as Scheffler. I mean, Scheffler definitely is the guy. I mean, the betting favorite and the all around favorite. I mean, having won here 2 years ago, coming in with 2 wins, including the players, and a runner-up finish in his last start. So, yeah, I mean, it's Scheffler, world number one, definitely the guy to beat this week.
I'm not expecting Tiger to compete for the title, but how much of an edge does he have just from playing the course as long as he has and as familiar as he is with it? What type of an edge does that give a golfer in a tournament like this?
Yeah, here more than others, maybe, right? Because there is so much to learning this golf course and unlocking the code, if you will, of how to win here. Tiger with 5 green jackets, just one shy of course, Jack Nicklaus in his 6. And, you know, he got it done in 2019. There wasn't a ton of expectations around Tiger at the time, and he was able to win. And sitting in his press conference a couple of days ago, you know, Tiger was asked, or I guess that was just yesterday. You know, Tiger was asked, what do you think his chances are? And he said, look, if it all comes together, I can get another one of these things. And he got pressed on it a couple of times. And he said, I'm not ready to go there. I'm not ready to be a ceremonial golfer. I'm not here to, you know, he would not, you know, admit to not having the chance to win. In his mind, he still believes that he can. He obviously knows his way around this golf course. He, I think, has the shots if his body will allow it. So that's a big if that he threw out there, a caveat that, you know, if all things come together, and there's just a lot that has to. He said he hurts every single day. When asked what lies around the golf course make it tougher for him or cause more pain, he said anything not on the tee box. So that gives you some indication how challenging and tough it's going to be for Tiger out there. I think there's probably as much of an interest to see if Tiger can make it through 36 holes. And if he does so and he makes the cut, he'll be 24 consecutive and he'll break the tie with Gary Player and Fred Couples with the most longest consecutive cuts made at Augusta. So that in and of itself would be a pretty good feat for Tiger, who has just a few rounds under his belt coming into this one.
How do you like Tony Finau's chances?
You know, I actually like Tony. We talked to him on the show Saturday and I really liked his tone. You know, he said, he basically said he's got business to take care of. He's coming here, he's got business to take care of. And, you know, Tony's had a great record here. 3 top 5 finishes in the April Masters. He didn't play so well in the 1 November Masters, but he's coming off of a runner-up finish. And he said in his interview that he felt like it was important to come off of a good finish and be in good form coming in this week. So, look, with a hurt ankle and all the other things that he's gone through here and still played well, this feels like a Tony Finau kind of golf course. And I think his finishes and his results show that out. He's a 6-time winner now. There's really no reason. He's also playing in his 7th Masters, and the average number of starts before someone gets their first is 6. So he's right in that wheelhouse, and he's got the top 5 finishes to go with it, which is something that usually a Masters champion has before they go on and win. So he checks all the boxes, and we'll see. We'll see if he's in form, see if that putter's working, and see if he can get it done.
Thank you, BT. You're the best.
Thanks, Brian.
Look forward to all your coverage this week.
You got it. Take care, boys.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Taylor, Real Golf Radio every Saturday morning. And you should listen to those guys every week, but their episodes surrounding the majors are particularly good.
Not a bad time or a bad place to be covering golf.
No. All right, Ben. Well, you enjoy your day, buddy. No game tonight. Sun's out. That means Ben's guns are coming out.
Gotta get the tank top on.
Tank top weather for Ben.
Rip this sweatshirt off.
Sun's out, pits out for Ben.
Put the hood down on the... I'm the convertible.
You have a convertible now?
I've got a Hummer. I've got a convertible. I've got all kinds of cars.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jake and
Thanks,
Ben.
Sarah.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.